part of our history. But the catch is, we would do so with all of our memories and all of experiences so that we could learn from the past. Would there be a certain time, would we take our 60-year-old brain and would I go back to my 20-year-old body? Can you imagine what it would be like to be able to live life all over, but knowing all the mistakes you made and being able to avoid them? It's kind of a nice what-if game. But what if we could go back to the days of Christ and we could see the last events of Christ? What if we could be in that upper room and we could see the communion service displayed in all of its glory? But then, what would it be like if we could see Christ being arrested, beaten, taken before the various courts for judgment, seeing him scourged, having that crown of thorns put on his head and beaten into his scalp with the equivalent of a baseball bat? What would it be like to see Christ with that blood dripping off his back, forced to carry that cross weighing several hundred pounds, dragging it uphill to the place where he was going to die? And what if, as Christ was taking the cross up to the very foot of the hill, what if he threw the cross down in the ground and turned around and said, "I don't love you enough to die for you. Forget you. I'm going back to my Father and I'm going to avoid all this." Now, what would you think? How would that impact you if Christ had not loved us enough to die for us? Now, thankfully, Jesus really did die on the cross. Jesus really was buried on what we call Good Friday. God really did raise Christ from the dead on this day that we celebrate as Easter. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ really are the foundation upon which all of Christianity and our hope is built. But what if Jesus had decided we were worth dying for? What if Jesus had never died for our sins, if he'd never resurrected from the grave? What if Easter had never happened? That's the question that Paul is addressing in 1 Corinthians 15, because there's teachers in the church who are claiming that the resurrection never happened. And so Paul takes their teaching, he follows it to their logical end, and he says, if Christ had never really resurrected, then these three things would be true for us today. First, if Christ had not been raised from the grave, there would be no Christianity. Let's read verses 13 and 14 together. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. In other words, Paul's saying, what good is it to put our faith in a non-resurrected Jesus? Perhaps as much good as was seen in a story that came out of China. There was a 1981 flood at Famen. And when it was a temple. And as archaeologists were digging through the rubble of the temple, they made an astounding discovery. Sealed in a miniature stone casket, they found what they believed to be one of Buddha's fingers. That finger was then housed in a monastery where tens of thousands of people have since paid homage to that dead finger. They light incense to it and they put candles around it. And some have said that as they worship that dead finger, they feel as if Buddha himself is sitting before them. But think about it. You're worshiping a piece of dead, mummified flesh. Can that piece of dead flesh give life? Obviously not. Can that piece of dead flesh raise you from the dead when it couldn't even raise itself from the dead? Well, neither could our faith help us if Christ had not been raised from the dead and if his body was still in the tomb. But Christianity, the reason it is different than every other religion in the world today, because there is no part of Christ which can be found on this earth, no part of his physical body, because Jesus did rise from the grave and his tomb was empty on Easter Sunday. And that's why we don't gather together to celebrate just one more in a series of great religious teachers who have taught us about God. But we celebrate the reality that Jesus is alive, just as we opened the sermon with, just as those women went to the tomb and that angel said, "He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." And because his grave is empty, and because the founder of every other world religion is still in their graves, that means Christianity is still the only source of hope to a lost and dying generation today. Well, not only would, if Christ had not been raised from the dead, not only would there be no Christianity, but we would have no hope for the future either. Notice what Paul says in verse 18. And again, let's read that. "And if Christ has not been raised, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost." Simply put, without the resurrection, Paul reminds us that death would never have been conquered, and we would have to live our entire life on this earth with no hope for the future. If Easter had never happened, we'd be like the story of three men who are sitting around a campfire one night, and one of the men said, "You know, what would life be like? What would you like for people to say about your funeral?" The first man would said, "I'd want them to say he was a great help to his community." The second person said, "I'd want them to say he was a great family man, an example, someone who really loved his children." The third man said, "I'd want them to say, look, he's moving!" Okay? You see, without the reality of Easter, the best that could ever happen to us might be what happened to Howard Hughes. He's perhaps the richest man in the world when he died. He was one of the founders of Las Vegas. He helped make it what it is. And so to commemorate the death of Howard Hughes, the casinos of Las Vegas decided that on a certain time, they would stop all gambling for 30 seconds and hold 30 seconds of silence. And they did. And then when the 30 seconds of silence are up, they rolled the dice, and it was as if he had never lived. Think about it. The best that might happen to us without Christ rising from the dead is we might be given 30 seconds worth of silence. Pretty sad if you think about it. Another way of looking at it is without Easter, the best that we might hope for in life would be what happened when I was asked to do the funeral service of a Hell's Angel who got high one day and decided to play chicken with a semi. Now, the law of physics is such that most motorcycles will not overcome most semis, and he died instantly. And the rest of the Hell's Angels in Southern California used that funeral simply as an excuse to get hundreds of their buddies together and just to have the biggest party and the best drugs for about 3 or 4 days. And if you think about it, who can blame them? Even Paul says this, "If the dead are not raised, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." Why not throw a party and get drunk? But because Jesus did love us enough to go to the cross and raise from the tomb for us, we are not in our sins. Jesus said, "I've got the last laugh. Death doesn't."
And because Jesus did rise from the grave, he was able to give us a promise in John 14:19 that all of us can count on today. Jesus said, because I live, you will also live. And because Christ did raise from the dead, he gave us that promise in Philippians that is perhaps my favorite verse. Every one of us can count on that promise when Paul says, for me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. To me, put in modern day terms, it means we Christians live in a win-win situation. We get the best of Christ to come, and we get Christ on this earth now. And that, my friends, is exciting. Well, if Christ had not been raised from the dead, not only would there be no Christianity, not only would we have no hope for tomorrow, but we would have no hope for today as well. Paul puts it this way in verse 17. He says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And Paul's reminding us that because Christ died for our sins, if he had not been raised, that means our sins would have overcome his love. If that had happened, can you imagine what our world would be like today? Can you imagine a world where there is no semblance of God's love in it? Where there is no restraining of the Holy Spirit? Where the world is pure evil around us? A world where Satan reigns supreme. Ironically, that's the very world that Andrew Lloyd Webber envisions in his movie version of the play Jesus Christ Superstar. He goes through the powerfully enacting the agony of Christ in the garden and the trials and the death on the cross. And then as Jesus dies, the film credits start rolling. The movie is over. There is no resurrection. Why? Because in Andrew Lloyd Webber's world, it's a version where love tried to win out, but couldn't. And so the end result is you have Good Friday with no hope of Easter. You have the crucifixion, but never the resurrection. You have finality, but never hope. And if Andrew Lloyd Webber is right, then all hope of a better life on this earth right now is gone. But friends, I am here to tell you that Andrew Lloyd Webber is wrong. Jesus Christ really did love us enough to go to the cross and die for our sins. He really did love us enough, and the power of God was strong enough that he was able to resurrect Christ on that Sunday morning. And because Christ lives, that means that we have hope, not just for the future, but for the reality of life in our Christ every day. And it's with that same confident hope of victory and expectation that we gather together on this day that we call Easter. But so what? What difference does Easter really make? You talk about the difference that Easter makes through two true stories that I've experienced in my life. The first is the story of Marky. Marky was a 16-year-old that I met when I was working with Youth for Christ. And I was on high school campus, and I was with the high schoolers all the time. And Marky was what you might call the class clown. He was a happy-go-lucky kid. He made everybody around him laugh. But the reason he was so that way, it's because he did not feel good about himself. And his defense in life was to make others laugh so they wouldn't laugh at him. Well, Marky got invited to our campus life club on Monday nights, and he really enjoyed it because we accepted him and pretty good things were happening. And so Mark, he started going around this high school of 1,200, and he's saying, you've got to come to Campus Life on Monday night. They've got great food, and they've got great girls. And so, because of that invitation, because of his enthusiasm, we had lots of kids start coming to Christ. Because Mark, he said, to Campus Life, you've got to come to Campus Life. They've got great food and great girls. Well, been a hard winter, and so spring break came, and we were taking our annual trip to Florida. And Marky was one of the first kids to sign up. And the theme of the week that year was No Christ, No Peace. And the first 2 days were N-O Christ, N-O Peace. The idea was that if you did not know Christ, if there was no Christ, you could have no peace in your life. And that really resonated with Marky, because he had never had that peace and that love and the acceptance. And then the third and fourth days of the conference shifted to the phrase, no Christ, no peace. That if you K-N-O-W Christ, then you can K-N-O-W peace in your life. And that really began to resonate. And he talked to us about the difference that Christ made. And he had some really good questions. And as we were getting ready on that last day, Marky said, I want to be baptized into Christ. I want him to be my Lord and Savior. I want to be loved. And so we had the privilege of baptizing him in that pool at the Holiday Inn. And Marky came back on campus. And man, he was excited. And he invited more people than ever. Hey, you've got to come to Campus Life. They've got great food and great girls and an even greater Jesus. And dozens more began coming to our Campus Life group. That summer of his senior, going into his senior year, Marky was taking some summer school classes, and he lived just a few blocks away from the school, but you had to get on what we would call an FM road, where the speed limit was about 55, 65 to get to his house. And so one day between classes, he decided he didn't have any money on him, and he decided he'd go home and grab a Coke. And he did. As he was turning back onto the highway to get to the school, no one knows quite for sure what happened. The only thing we can theorize is that as he accelerated onto the state road, that Coke can somehow slipped out of the holder, and he reached down to grab the Coke. And as he reached back up, he realized that in doing so, his car was drifting into the other lane. And a semi was coming at him at about 60 miles an hour. Marky tried to adjust and veered desperately back into the right lane, but at the same time, the semi was adjusting and trying to pull into that lane, and bam, they hit head on. Marky was killed instantly, less than 2 blocks away from the school. Because of my connection with the school and with hundreds of high schoolers, I received 5 or 6 phone calls within a few minutes. I actually got to the hospital before Marky's father did. Now, to understand this next part, you have to understand that Marky's father was a Buddhist. I waited for Marky's father. They escorted us back into this room where bodies are kept. Marky's death is still new enough that he's bleeding out. Blood is accumulating, and he's right there on the table. And Marky's dad just buried his hands, one hand behind what was left of Marky's head, and the other hand on his stomach as best he could. And he just put his head down, and for 20 minutes, covered in blood, he just said, no more, no more, no more. And then he left. His life was crushed because his son was no more and never would be. The second story I want to tell you is about a lady by the name of Joanne. Joanne Rodifer was when we lived in La Harpe, and she was a believer in Christ. She was an older lady at the time. She was probably in her 70s. She had lived a great life, a believer in Christ. She had several generations who believed in Christ. And she began to contract was diagnosed with cancer, and she didn't have all that much time left. And her desire was more than anything to celebrate life more than ever in her last months. And so we began to celebrate with her. And she insisted on being in worship every Sunday. And as a few months passed, she was no longer physically able to be in church. And so because it was a smaller town, we've got volunteers of the EMS. We figured out a way that we could transport her hospital bed that they had put in her room. We transported her hospital bed to worship service every Sunday. And she would be in the back, at the very back, between the rows. And she would get there about 15 minutes early. And you might as well forget preaching that day, because everybody's gathered around Joanne, and they're just loving on her, and she's loving back, and it's a great feeling. And that goes on for 3 or 4 weeks. And finally, there's a Sunday that Joanne's weak enough that she can't even make it to worship. And she dies a few days later. And I have the privilege of doing her funeral service. And that funeral service is just an explosion of celebration and joy and praise and hope. A celebration of life not only that was, but of life that's going to be. And as Joanne's body is lying in her casket, and now people are filing out of the funeral service, her family is the last to be there. And her son said it so well. He puts his hand on his mom's hands. He says, "Mom, we'll see you later." Wow. No more. Versus, "We'll see you later." Do you begin to understand the huge difference the resurrection of Christ makes in our life? Is there any greater evidence than those contrasting words, "no more," versus, "We'll see you later"? You see, if Christ really had walked away from the grave, he'd be no more than just, meaning walked away from going to the grave, he'd be no more than one religious teacher whose influence would have faded away quickly. Maybe we'd worship his mummified finger today. But Jesus didn't just come to this earth. He didn't just die on the cross. He rose from the grave. And his resurrection from the grave is the uniqueness of our faith. It explains the excitement and the hope that Christianity alone offers to this world. And that's why we don't have to wonder what if might have been. Because we know that when it comes to our life on this earth, that after we die, we can have the calm assurance that these great song lyrics have for us. Next slide. Andre Crouch wrote this a few years back. "God sent his son." And you can read this with me. "They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives." May that be the life-changing message that you take with you this Sunday. Normally, it's our practice to have an invitation, and we ask those who don't know Christ to come forward and receive Christ. But today, we're going to do things a little different. I want you to think about the difference the resurrection makes. I want you to think about the difference that Jesus Christ makes. And if you have some questions, you come see myself or one of the church leaders afterwards, and we can talk to you about Christ. But for now, I'd like us to stand. And we're going to close in prayer, and then we're going to sing "Because He Lives." But we're going to sing it in a slightly different way. On the video, you're going to see believer after believer after believer after believer singing a phrase. And I want us to sing with it because, to me, that video represents the fact that people from every tribe, every blood, every nation will one day celebrate Jesus together. And we have the chance to do that today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us. We thank you for the victory of Christ. We thank you that you are risen from the grave and we don't have to play that what-if game. We thank you for the difference you make in our life, not only for the future, but literally for today. And may we praise you for that. In your Son's name, amen.
God sent his Son, they called him Jesus.
He came to love, heal and forgive.
He lived and died to buy my pardon,
an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Because he
and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Because he lives. Because he lives.
It's great seeing y'all here today. Y'all have a blessed week, and we can't wait to see you again next Sunday. Thank you.